From the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Now, start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right. Welcome in. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. On that app, on iTunes as well. Rate, subscribe, and review. You can check it out. How's it going? I am Chase McCabe. It's good to be back. Talk some racing. A lot to discuss, because not only did you have a fun race at Martinsville, but NASCAR has come out with the 2020 schedule, and it's different. We'll get into that. We'll do that here in just a few minutes. Adam Alexander from Fox NASCAR also going to join. I'll pick his brain on the new schedule as well. But first, there was racing last weekend at the Paperclip from Martinsville, and Brad Keselowski, he wins his second win of the year, and it was a fun one because you had Chase Elliott that you kind of figured, all right, Chase is going to be up there. He's going to be fighting for wins. He had three wins last year. You know he's going to be around. And he was, and he and BK just in a battle. Kyle Busch finishes third, but that battle between Brad Keselowski and Chase Elliott was fun. And a typical Martinsville race, you expect some beating and banging. And Chase Elliott, you know, he was ready to wreck him if he needed to.
I don't know. It's really tough. Our Napa Camaro was good. I felt like we were about as even with him as we could. There was a little, I felt like when we did get the lead, there was a little advantage to being out front, being able to work traffic your way and kind of play offense and whatnot. But yeah, just I tried to move up there at the end, and I don't know if I could have got to it. Maybe if I moved up a little sooner, maybe. But I tried to get to him there in three. I was pretty well content with moving him out of the way. But maybe next time.
Okay, move him out of the way. Maybe not wreck him, but move him out of the way. Look, that's old school racing, and I'm fine with it. You know, you don't want to see an unnecessary wreck, but if Chase had gotten to him and was able to move him out of the way, then so be it. Got to do what you got to do for a win. It helped win Joey Logano a championship. So, you know, that's kind of how it is sometimes, especially when you go to a track like Martinsville. But Brad Keselowski is the one that comes away with the win, and as I said, when we started the show this year, when we opened the season before Daytona, Keselowski was one of those guys that I was saying watch out for, because he had so much momentum at the end of last season, won three races in a row, made some noise in the playoffs. His teammate won the championship. It just made sense. Hey, watch out for Brad Keselowski and that Penske team, and so far, they've been pretty darn good. The Fords in general have been pretty darn good. That has been fun to watch because, again, said over and over again, I think people were worried about the Mustang and if there was going to be a learning curve. That hasn't been the case at all. I mean, think about it. You look at the first few races of the year, the first six races of the season, Kyle Busch has won twice in a Toyota, but then the Fords. You've had Joey Logano with a win, Keselowski now with two wins, but how many top fives? Logano has finished in the top five three times. Harvick has finished in the top five three times. Keselowski has finished in the top five three times. Almirola, Ryan Blaney has three top fives. I mean, the list goes on and on. Boyer has had a top five. The Fords have had a good start to the season. And I just think it's the, you know, we had Clint Boyer on a few weeks ago. It's the R&D. It's what the manufacturer puts into it in the research. And I just, that's what's giving them a competitive advantage right now. That's just how it is. So I just... kudos to them. And Brad Keselowski gave credit where credit is due, though. He didn't think they were as good as the 9, but they got it done.
Yeah, it was. The car was really good. This Ford Mustang, you know, Ford worked really hard in offseason to build these cars and make them really strong, Matt. And so far, so good. just a great day for our team. Awesome execution on pit road. And big credit to Doug Yates and all the engine stuff. Those guys work really hard. But just one of those days you dream of as a race car driver, Matt, you know, where you've got a great car. I don't know if we were as good as the ninth or, yes, nine now. Chase Elliott, he was really strong, but he passed me there with about 200 to go, and I watched him and studied him and kind of broke it down and knew what I had to do to hold him off with that fast of a car, and were able to pull it off that last run with the restraw type Ford.
Several runs, no adjustments, and then the wedge adjustment. How important was that to dial this car back in?
Yeah, you know, as the temps are cooling off, the track was losing its rubber, and we were just losing grip. We weren't as good as we needed to be there, Matt, and so Paul was working on it to do the best we can, and that's what this team does. They never give up, and I'm really, really proud of them.
Brad Keselowski with Matt Yoakum of Fox Sports, still sitting in the race car after he won, and you heard him give credit to Ford and the research and everything that they've put into the program, and that's why they've been so successful. They're coming off a championship with Joey Logano, and right now, early on in the season, they're in a good position to possibly win another one. So Brad Keselowski wins at Martinsville, and he said in his post-race press conference that he doesn't know if everything has really settled in yet.
I don't think it's settled in. You know, Mark, I think that we're still very early in the season with, you know, brand new rules, brand new tech officials. I don't think we'll see the field really settle in till about Kansas. I think I said that at the start of the year, and I'm holding firm with that. You know, we're on the West Coast for 3 weeks where it's, you know, it's not impossible, but it's damn near impossible to make engineering advancements on your cars with some of the things you learn. And then, of course, there's always new pit crew members at the start of the year who are learning how to gel together. So I think it's way too early in the season to pick those things out. But that doesn't mean I'm complaining about our success. You know, it's good. This is good. We need those playoff points, you know. I think we missed the cutoff last year in the playoffs by 10, 11 points. So, you know, today alone, I think we got 7 playoff points. And with our win at Atlanta, that was another 5. So, you know, those are 12 key playoff points that, you know, are really critical come championship time. Nonetheless, just the fun of winning today in Martinsville. So those are big things that we don't know how important those are going to be come the fall time. But I think you have to assume you're going to need them, and so it's big to get these wins.
He's right. They haven't settled in yet. I think you're going to see some drivers that we haven't talked about a lot. I'll use Chase Elliott as an example. He's been okay, but he hasn't been great thus far. And now you look at him finishing second. I mean, that helps him out. He's ninth in points now. I mean, that really moves him up. And you're going to see some guys that may have struggled with this new rules package at first. Now they're starting to figure it out. You know, NASCAR is starting to figure it out, and you're going to see them really come into their own and make some noise. So I think to Keselowski's point, having the success that he's having now is going to pay dividends come playoff time. But I don't think you can really say definitively that there's one person, there's one driver that really is a cut above the rest right now. It's not Kyle Busch. It's not Brad Keselowski. It's just way too early. Speaking of early, let's talk about the 2020 schedule. How about that? It was released earlier this week, and there have been rumors that there were going to be changes. NASCAR is in a place where they're all about some changes, and I love it. I think changing the rules, I think that changing the schedule, that is good for the sport, and they made significant changes. They have taken this schedule, and the biggest change, I think, is rotating the championship. So we start there with Steve O'Donnell, of course, executive vice president. He's in charge of all this stuff. He sat down with NASCAR.com and explained why they are moving the championship race to ISM Speedway.
Why ISM? And, I mean, that's really a driver's track, so why not?
It really is, and you look at people say, why leave Miami? And so what we would say is we're not leaving Miami. It's been a terrific racetrack for us, and we'll continue to do that. So we know we've got great racing at Miami. If we can move that up in the schedule, it really helps us in the spring. And then ISM with a huge investment, big sports market, we think it's time to rotate the championship. You know, we've looked at the different competitors that, you know, you keep going to that same track. Does that provide an advantage or not? Who knows? This allows us to move it and give a track a chance at the championship and know that Julie and her team at ISM will do a terrific job.
And the thing about this, and I've been saying this for a while, rotate the championship race. And it's my understanding that this is a one-year deal. which makes me think, okay, they're probably going to rotate the championship race. That's good. They should do that. Why can't, you know, I mean, if you look at college basketball, we're in tournament season. They rotate the championship where it's at. And you have the Super Bowl that rotates. Why can't it change? I think it should. Have a different track every year. That creates so much more excitement and competition for the drivers. So that's probably one of the biggest changes. The other one, they are moving the July Daytona race to the cutoff of the regular season. So the regular season will start and end in Daytona. I think that's exciting for the purist in me. It's a little sad to see them not run the firecracker at Daytona, so to speak. But I like it. I like that they're trying something different. Now, one thing that the drivers are super excited about, and we'll start with a former driver, they're going to run the Martinsville Spring Race under the lights. Here's Jeff Gordon.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. I think, you know, ever since they put lights in and we saw late models go around there, I think everybody was ready for NASCAR's Premier Series to be there. I know a lot of the drivers were even talking about it this past weekend when we were at Martinsville and the lights were on and there were no cars out there on the track. It's like we should have race cars out there. So I think it's going to bring a whole different dynamic to racing. I think it's incredible for the fans, Mother's Day weekend, but also, you know, moves that date, you know, a little bit later, which is going to be interesting. But at night, you're going to see the rotors glow. You're going to see the sparks flying. We might even be able to see the tempers flaring from inside those cars at night.
Short track Saturday night. That's how it's supposed to be. You know, I look at the schedule and they're running a race at Richmond during the day on Sunday. I don't like it. Short track Saturday night. They run a day race at Bristol. They're going to run a day race at Martinsville. Okay, at least you have nighted all three of them now. But to me, short track racing is under the lights. It's, you know, it's when it's hot and sticky, and this will be in May. This will be perfect. I love it. Joey Logano also very excited about running under the lights at the Martinsville Speedway.
Martinsville under the lights, come on. That's awesome, right? That is the roots of NASCAR, is short track racing under the lights. That's what we all grew up doing. And so I think that's really, really neat to be a part of. And I can't wait to be able to see that on Mother's Day weekend, a Saturday night race. And then, you know, Martinsville cutoff race. I mean, I don't know if it changes much of the way that race goes already, but because there's already so much on the line when you get to that round in the playoffs, and anything can happen in Martinsville.
I like that the playoff schedule is looking different. I mean, you have a cutoff race, as you heard, at Martinsville, at Bristol. You have all sorts of different tracks in there with the Roval and some short tracks, and you know, Bristol's in there now. I think that it's going to be fun. And I feel like that this schedule is set up that they can make changes to it. You know, in 2021, we could have some different tracks. I mean, the contracts are going to be up with the tracks. You know, could Nashville be a part of that? I feel like that could be soon, you know, too soon, as they have work to do with the track, but you never know. There might be some things that come along that they can get it done before then, and then they're having racing there at Nashville. But the fact of the matter is there are enough changes on this 2020 schedule that make you think, okay, NASCAR's listening. They're listening to the drivers, they're listening to the fans, and they want change. They want excitement. And another one of those things that they're trying out that I think helps with a problem that I believe that the schedule goes on too long, I don't think they're going to take races away. They still want to run 36. But if they can figure out a way to condense the schedule, which this schedule will end on November 8th, that's the earliest it's ended in a long time, it'll help. And one way they're doing that is a doubleheader at Pocono. Here's more with Steve O'Donnell.
Something we have never seen on the schedule. A doubleheader, it's going to happen at Pocono. How great is this going to be for the fans?
You know, first off, I want to say thanks to Nick Igdalski. Just, you know, took a chance on us looking at a doubleheader. But when you go to Pocono, it's always packed. There's always a great camping atmosphere. It's going to be terrific. I mean, you're going to have potentially five races going on during the weekend, you know, back-to-back cup events. So it's going to be fun. We love going to Pocono, and I think the industry is really going to embrace it, and I think it'll be terrific for the fans.
I am interested to see how this turns out, because there's a lot of things. I mean, are they going to – I mean, obviously they have to take more than one race car. So is this going to be a situation where you're taking two primaries and, you know, not going to have a backup, or you're taking two trucks. I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered, but, you know, IndyCar has made it work. They do this sometimes. You run a cup race on Saturday, you run a cup race on Sunday, and then you're done for the year at Pocono. But you have 2 points paying races done in 2 days. That's a great idea. And I think that's going to lead to what we've always talked about, and that's midweek races, where you run a race on Wednesday or Thursday, and then you run another one on Sunday. You got two knocked out in a week. Adam Alexander coming up in just a few minutes. But Steve O'Donnell, NASCAR Executive Vice President, goes on to say that unprecedented collaboration went into preparing this schedule.
When you look at just the overall schedule, I think it's important to start off just by saying thanks to all the racetracks. Unprecedented collaboration. What folks don't know on kind of how the sausage is made, we only had the ability to move the schedule really 2 weeks within our agreement. So the tracks had to agree to all these moves throughout the season, which they did. Terrific cooperation internally, too. Ben Kennedy played a huge role in the schedule also. So really excited about what we're going to share.
Yeah, and we're seeing the full screen right now. These are just some of the highlights. There are some other changes in the full schedule, but anything stand out to you, Major, there?
I think it all stands out. You know, when you look at, obviously, the championship race, but a lot of collaboration from the industry in terms of wanting to end the regular season in Daytona. That last chance race, I think, will be terrific. Doubleheader in Pocono will be outstanding, and then a lot of great changes within the playoffs as well.
It's the another step in the right direction for NASCAR of listening and making changes. Not living in this, well, this is the way we've always done it, so we can't change it. You know, we've always raced July 4th weekend at Daytona. Now you're not. Now you're at Indy. I think that's cool. That's cool for the Brickyard. They run the Indy 500 Memorial Day weekend, and then July 4th weekend, they got the Brickyard. That's awesome. Really like it. We'll talk to Adam Alexander from Fox Sports NASCAR here in just a few on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe back here with you, and as promised, joined by Adam Alexander from Fox NASCAR. And Adam, how's it going?
Doing great, man. It's an exciting time of year. We got the season, you know, off and rolling, made it through the West Coast swing, and some big news this week, obviously with the schedule announcement and, you know, some changes to qualify. So certainly plenty to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to start with the schedule announcement for 2020. And, you know, you've been around this sport a long time. I've been around this sport for a long time. And change is not always something that happens. And we've seen rule changes this year, pretty significant ones. We've seen body changes with the Mustang joining in Ford. And now the schedule in 2020 is going to look a lot different, including starting and ending the regular season at Daytona. I love that. It's different, and so it has me intrigued. What did you think?
Well, I think when you look at it, you know, top to bottom, race one to race 36, it's difficult to answer what the most significant change was. And I would start with the one you mentioned. And Daytona, I think, is twofold. It makes a headline in a couple of ways. One, it becomes the regular season finale, which is enormous because of all that will be on the line. And what a wild card event that is, number one. Number two, the fact that you take it off its traditional July 4th weekend, and then that dovetails into now Indianapolis is going to be on Independence Day weekend, and a new opportunity for them to kind of reinvent themselves and change maybe the way we look at the Brickyard, 400, and what possibilities does that create going forward. You know, Martinsville moves back. It's a night race in the spring. The many changes throughout the playoffs, those crazy cutoff races, and the fact that we now go to ISM Raceway in Phoenix to decide a champion. I mean, the list goes on and on of changes and how the dynamic is going to be different in 2020.
Yeah, and you mentioned Martinsville, which, of course, they run there this week. I'm sorry, they ran last week. But they go to they go to Martinsville, they run under the lights, and it's the first time that they've done that, and that's something that they have added. And I think when you think of short track racing, you think Saturday night under the lights. To me, going to the most historic short track and running a night race is a no-brainer.
Well, and you wondered, you know, when this was going to come, because you don't just, you know, add lights to a facility like that and not have the vision of someday bringing your marquee event you know, there and putting them in that situation where they're running at nighttime. And I think everyone felt like there's no way to do it in the dates as they are currently, just because it's just going to be too cold. We kind of fight cool temperatures at those, you know, spring and fall dates anyway. So the fact that they've now moved it in to that Mother's Day weekend slot, you know, put it on the Saturday night. And now, really, you know, race teams almost get like 3 weeks in a row at home, because you go Martinsville, which is just a couple hours up the road from the hub of NASCAR, and then it goes All-Star and Coke 600. So I think in many ways that'll be a popular date with the fans, special opportunity, as you said, to see short track racing under the lights, at one of our most historic tracks. But then on top of that, I think it serves the competitors well, because it gives them another week in and around Charlotte, you know, on back-to-back-to-back weekends now, which is always nice for them to regain some continuity and have some opportunities to strengthen that foundation at home.
As we look ahead to 2021, talking with Adam Alexander from Fox NASCAR, that's when the contracts with the tracks are up, and we could see more changes, whether it's new tracks. Of course, here in Nashville, we're paying attention of maybe there's a chance that one day the Cup Series is back here. Back in the day, they had a true short track season. Do you ever see the schedule going back to that, with a lot of the drivers and fans wanting more short tracks?
Yeah, that's a good question. I do feel like that, you know, even though they couldn't change tracks for 2020, I thought when you looked at the rearrangement of tracks and you look at the setup now in the playoffs, that really speaks to what the fans said they wanted. More short tracks. You know, road course racing, super speedway. I really felt like the playoff schedule went a long way in addressing the questions that had been asked and the wants that had been put out there by the fans. And that takes you immediately, I think, to 2021. What's the entirety of the schedule going to look like, given what we see, you know, in 2020 and how they've utilized the movement among the current venues? And I do think that Nashville – you know, has a place in the future. I don't think we would have seen the announcements and the deals being made that we've seen if, in fact, that Nashville didn't have a future in some way, shape, or form. I think Iowa is a future destination for NASCAR's top series. And, you know, Steve O'Donnell talked during his press conference when the schedule announcement was made about the possibility of midweek races and needing new venues to help us accomplish that. And I look at, you know, a Nashville, I think that would be a great Wednesday night, and it's not a huge racetrack. And so you're not looking to fill 80,000, you're not looking to fill a bunch of camping spots. And so that to me would be a perfect place to race on a Wednesday night. You're in a big metropolitan area where you don't necessarily have to go hundreds of miles out to attract race fans. I think Iowa could serve a similar need, because it's not, you know, it's not a huge racetrack from a fan perspective to where you have to get so many people in there over the course of a weekend. I think you could do a weeknight there. So those are some of the possibilities that I think exist as we continue down the line.
And as we continue with the 2020 schedule, one thing that they've put on there that kind of has maybe hinted towards something like that would shorten up the schedule from a, just, you know, the calendar standpoint, that the season is going to end a little earlier. They're doing a doubleheader at Pocono, which is something that hasn't been done before. They're going to race a Cup race on Saturday, and then they'll race another one on Sunday, and that takes care of the two dates at Pocono. What did you think about that?
Well, I think that's a really good idea, and I think that this is a little bit of trial and error to see how that goes. And if NASCAR is able to pull that off to the satisfaction of what they need in a race weekend, if it satisfies the wants and needs of the racetrack, the competitors are able to make that work, just, you know, logistically on the competition side, I think this is something we could see, I won't say a lot more of in 2021 and beyond, but I think we could see more of that and that type of format. And I think what that does is we all know we're not going to take races away. We're right. Not going to go from 36 to 30 or 25. But they do want the schedule to end earlier. And this year, or in 2020, with this announcement, we're going to end November 8th. That's as early as we've ended in a long time. And that is with a two-week break in, you know, July and August because of the Olympics and the impact that has with NBC. You take those 2 weeks away, now we're ending in October. You add a couple of more weeks of doubleheader weekends, and now you can get yourself back into the early portion of October, and then you take a couple of races and slide them in front of the Daytona 500, and before you know it, we're into September, ending the season, and you don't have to fight football. And I think ultimately that's where, you know, the vision's coming from with midweek races and some of that.
And I think that that's something they need to do. I've kind of, since this announcement, I started messing with the schedule and kind of doing my own version of a NASCAR schedule and what I would like to see. And a lot of that is centered around ending before or right as the NFL season is starting, because I think it's such a prime time in the summer for viewership. And if you're going to do these weeknight races and doubleheaders, I think you will get people going to the racetrack and tuning in and watching on Fox or NBC, because, you know, that's the prime time. That's when NASCAR can be at center stage.
Well, and I think the other thing that you might, you know, consider and think about as we kind of go outside the box, and I hate to go too far down the road and not celebrate the good that we have today in the changes that have been made for 2020, but you look at Indianapolis being on July 4th weekend. I think it would be great, and I think you and I have had this conversation before. I think it'd be great to, you know, race on Thursday night at IRP.
Yeah.
And, you know, you add a short track to the schedule, you put a midweek race on the schedule, but you don't impede the fans in what they're doing because it's a holiday weekend. They can come to town, they can camp out, but they're getting a two-for-one. You can watch IRP on Thursday night for Cup, you can watch IRP on Friday night for Trucks, and then you can go over to IMS for the weekend and watch Xfinity and Cup, and you're getting two Cup shows in 4 days at two different venues, and you know there's a lot to be accomplished with that kind of vision. Is that possibility out there? I don't know if it is, but I think those are the kinds of things that NASCAR's got on the table in the decisions that they would like to make as we get into 2021 and move forward from there.
And I think with that plan, Adam, you accomplish two things. You're ending the season earlier, but you're also going back to the roots of NASCAR, which is short track racing. And I think you're getting different fan bases coming in. I love an idea like that. So I'd like to see that. Another one that I wanted to throw at you from the schedule standpoint is they announced that the season finale, the championship weekend, would go to Phoenix and ISM Speedway. I like it that they're changing it. Nothing against Homestead, but it's nice to mix it up. Could you see, and I think we have talked about this before, a scenario where they're going to rotate the championship, where it might go to ISM for a year or two, and then it goes somewhere else. Maybe they try it back at Atlanta like it always used to be, but they're rotating it around just like the Super Bowl. The championship weekend is at a different site.
Well, I think that that could happen, and I say that, you know, based on the things that Steve O'Donnell said yesterday when he was addressing the changes. It is a one-year deal for 2020 for ISM to host the finale. You know, certainly doesn't mean that won't get extended. There's many reasons why they may have elected to make that a one-year deal, but I do like the thought of ending the season at a different track on a regular basis. And I felt like, and we made a few changes last year that the Roval being the most notable, but mm-hmm. but I do like the idea of having a different race as the championship decider every year, because I think we had gotten a little bit watered down with the playoff schedule. And while I like Homestead, and I think it makes a lot of sense, I am and should be a part of the regular rotation. I like the venue at Phoenix. I like the town. I think it makes a lot of sense to go there and do it. And the other thing that I think should be bid out and done on a rotation basis is the All-Star race. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it needs its own weekend. As we continue down the road, as you and I have talked about midweek races, I think you do something with it like what I suggested with IRP and Indy. You know, run the All-Star race Thursday night in conjunction with a Sunday, you know, points race, and you take a weekend out of the schedule and you get the opportunity for other tracks to bid on hosting the All-Star race. So I think that would be a fun thing as well.
We'll have more with Adam Alexander from Fox NASCAR when we come back here on Chasing Checkers on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Adam Alexander from NASCAR on Fox, and you're right, and we're in this time where I think there's leadership in place that are making some changes, and they're welcome changes. It's a new day in NASCAR, and I love what I'm seeing so far. Speaking of changes, though, Adam, qualifying, they did some tweaks to that after last weekend where you had 12 cars not go to the start-finish line in qualifying. They have basically said, yeah, you're not going to do that anymore.
Well, and I think they needed to address it. I'll be interested to see how it all plays out at Texas. I don't think, you know, the execution is going to be totally different. I would be surprised if all 12 cars didn't get back, given the penalties that are now out there if you don't make a lap in that final round. But you don't want to see cars sit around and then have to fall back on their time from the previous round. If you're going to put them out there in the draft, you want there to be some benefit and some payoff for everyone who's involved. And so I think by NASCAR saying, if you just take what we saw at California in that final round, those 12 cars go out, they don't get back to the flag, everyone goes without recording a lap, it reverts back to the second round, and basically that's how we set the top 12 spots on the grid. Now the rule reads if they don't get back, we basically wipe out everything they did in the first and second round, and those guys start at the rear. I like forcing the hand of those teams so that they will get out there and make a qualifying run and do what you would expect them to do for the fans that are invested. And I just don't know with this aero setup and the importance of the draft, if you're ever going to find the sweet spot on qualifying, unless you're to go, you know, to heat races or something like that. I'm not sure you're ever going to meet the satisfaction of everyone involved with this aero setup the way it is.
Yeah, I agree with that because I think that you've gone to, you know, back in the day you had the qualifying setup and the race setup, and it's pretty much always been that way. Now it just seems like there's a big difference in the two, and, you know, going from one to another has been difficult for race teams. So you're seeing, of course, more of an emphasis on the race setup.
Well, and the other thing is that, you know, there are a lot of drivers that are for single car.
Yeah.
And, you know, and someone had floated the idea. And one idea that I liked was going group qualifying in rounds one and two and then going single car in the final round. You know, there's a lot of things that are out there. And I got to tell you, as we start working, not to make it all about the schedule, but as we start working with the schedule and the potential of midweek races and all of that, you know, we saw the enhanced weekend at Martinsville. It's basically a two-day show.
Right.
I think all of that leads us down a road of we could see more significant changes beyond the season schedule. The weekend schedule could go through some tweaks as well. And, you know, and to me, qualifying doesn't carry the significance that it used to. And therefore, I think the green light is probably on to look at a bigger change in an overall weekend format. And what that would do to impact, you know, all those involved.
Adam, before I let you go, Texas this weekend, of course, on Fox, 2:00 Central Time on Sunday. Texas is always exciting because it's fast and it's unpredictable, and especially with this new aero package that they have. What do you expect out of the guys this weekend as they head to Texas?
Well, I don't know how this track is going to receive you know, the new aero package. I think, you know, turns one and two are flat and wide. And you know, the other element that's going to be different this weekend is they put the traction compound down. And that might change the look of this track a little bit because, you know, one and two have been hard to get through the last couple of years. They reconfigured this place two seasons ago prior to when we went there in the spring of 2017. So I think in many ways, Texas is going to have a new look this weekend between the traction compound that they put down on the track and the new aero setup. I think all that equals a great deal of unknown. Having said that, it's hard for me to imagine we're not going to see the same guys up there. I mean, been a great start to the year. It doesn't matter what kind of racetrack for Team Penske and Joe Gibbs Racing. And the group that I'll really have my eye on this week is Stuart Haas. They won their last fall in the form of Kevin Harvick. They have not had the speed probably that they would have liked, given the aero rules that changed in 2019. You know, word is that they found some things in on the West Coast that they wanted to implement, and this is their real first opportunity in an aero-sensitive racetrack to see it in play. So I'm real curious to see what Stuart Haas comes up with. But having said that, it'd be hard to point in any direction other than Penske and Gibbs right now, as strong as they've been.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick, I meant to mention this earlier, but with Gibbs and Kyle Busch getting 200 National Series wins, just unprecedented. Of course, Richard Petty in the Cup Series winning 200 races. But, you know, his story is far from being written. It's far from being over. Where does he rank with the all-time greats, with as many races that he's run and now that he's won?
Well, you know, I've always tried to subscribe to the theory of not, you know, ranking someone until, you know, they're done and you can truly see their entire body of work. But having said that, if it ended tomorrow and Kyle Busch decided, I'm going to just, you know, spend the rest of my life with my family, to me, he ranks among the greats all time. You know, 200 national wins, when you consider the level of competition, you know, not just what he's had in Cup, but I think even in Xfinity, you go back and look at his near 100 Xfinity wins, there's been a huge Cup presence in a lot of those races. So to suggest that he's entirely dropping down to the minor leagues, I think is a little bit unfair. And I think the other part of the equation is, if he had 18 or 20 Cup wins and all the others had come in Truck and Xfinity, I think it would be pretty easy to argue against the big number. I think the fact that he's got over 50 Cup wins, he's knocking on the door of top 10 all time there. He's only 33 years old. You know, I don't know when it's all said and done that we say Kyle's, you know, the best ever. But I do think, you know, when his career ends, if you were at that stage to make a Mount Rushmore, it would be hard for me to imagine that Kyle wouldn't be on there.
Completely agree. Adam Alexander from NASCAR on Fox. Hey, I appreciate the time as always, and we'll be sure to catch up soon.
Well, it's always good to be with you. I appreciate you having me on, Chase, and looking forward to the fun season continuing.
Adam Alexander, Fox NASCAR. Of course, you can catch up on Race Hub. He's a part of their Xfinity Series coverage as well, and a good friend of the show. Always happy to come on, and it's good to have him talk about a lot of different things. That's what I love about having him on. When we come back, though, Texas, the Texas Motor Speedway. We get you set for that on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here at Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, on the Game Nashville app, on iTunes as well. Rate, subscribe, and review. Just search for Chasing Checkers. The Texas Motor Speedway this weekend. And before we get to that and look at some race odds, a couple of odds and ends and news and notes to share with you that have come out this week. Greg Biffle, the Biff, is scheduled to actually run the truck race at Texas in the summer. He's going to shake one down this weekend for Kyle Busch Motorsports, but it'll be the first race that the Biff has run since essentially retiring, I guess that's what you'll call it, since at the end of the 2016 season when he left Roush Fenway Racing. He hadn't been in a race car competitively since then. So I think that's kind of cool. You know, if you have the opportunity to drive a Kyle Busch truck, I don't think you say no, because we've seen how competitive those trucks can be. And Kyle has won, of course, a lot of races, 201 now, driving in his career. But Greg Biffle, we'll see. It's been a while since he's been in a car or a truck. In this case, I can't remember the last time he ran in the Truck Series, but a former Truck Series champion. So he is going to be going back and running a race. And Levine Family Racing says they are working on expanding for 2020. So, you know, Bob Levine, he's wanting to build this thing. He has this partnership with Gibbs, similar to that of Furniture Row Racing, and getting cars and parts and things like that. So they could be in a position where they can expand. Matt DiBenedetto, of course, their driver right now in that number 95. So it's interesting to see some of these smaller single car teams try and grow into something bigger. You know, I don't think
they try to compete with the big dogs anymore, but they try and run with them and get help from them. And I think that's good for the sport to have some of these smaller teams and not just the same four or five teams that everybody is accustomed to. But as we go into Texas this weekend, this is a track that has some character. It's got bumps. It's got speed. And with this new rules package, as you heard Adam Alexander talking about, we don't really know. It'll just be interesting to kind of see what happens with it. But you look at the Vegas odds to win at Las Vegas, Texas, there are four with 7-1. Those are the best odds. Martin Truex Jr., of course, in 2018, this race last year, he finished 37th. But his best Texas finish has been second. He's done that twice in the spring of 2013 and then in 2017 in the fall. So he has never won there. But then also at 7-1, last week's winner, a two-time winner this year, Brad Keselowski, he won this race, or he's actually finished second twice. His finish last year in this race was 33rd, finished second in the fall of 2012 and the fall of 2015. Also at 9-2, so another favorite would be Kevin Harvick. He has won this race twice, both in the fall 2017-2018. Last year he finished second. And then Kyle Busch, 7-2, he won this race last year and has won this one at Texas three times. So Kyle Busch looking for more wins to add to an already impressive resume. Some other Vegas odds if you are interested in such things. I mentioned Truex, but odds just ahead of him or behind him, 8-1 odds, Joey Logano, who has won in 2014. His finish last year in this race was sixth. So, you know, I think it's hard to pinpoint with this rules package and how things have gone on. You heard Brad Keselowski say earlier in the show that he doesn't really think everything's, you know, really shaken out yet. And I think that's the best way to look at it. Even though you have Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski that have won two races each, I mean, that doesn't really mean anything this early in the season. There's still a feeling out process with the rules and how it works for different tracks. He said about Kansas when everything was going to probably be figured out. And, you know, I think that's a fair evaluation of kind of how it is. And, you know, you look at if you go on with that, let's see, they will get to Kansas. They're at Texas this weekend. They go to Bristol next weekend. Then Richmond, April 13th. Talladega, April 28th. Don't get to Kansas until May 11th after running at Dover. So Saturday, May 11th, under the lights at Kansas is kind of when Brad Keselowski is saying everything's going to get figured out with the new rules package. So, you know, then that's kind of when you get into the part of the season where you go to Charlotte for the All-Star race and the Coke 600 and then Pocono, but you're getting into some similar tracks where you can kind of take some notes from other tracks and apply it and see what that does. So I think that there's something to be said for that. I think that Keselowski is spot on with that, but we will just have to wait and see and let everything unfold. But Texas is fun. Texas has a little bit of unpredictability to it just because of the speed. And, you know, we've hit some tracks as of late that Jimmy Johnson's always been good at. This is one of them. And you still have that feeling of, okay, you know, is Hendrick Motorsports going to, besides Chase Elliott, are they going to turn it on? I mean, is Jimmy going to start to figure it out? Is the old Jimmy going to start to come back? Or is this just kind of what it is now? Curious to see. I thought Martinsville would be a track that he would bounce back at, and just wasn't the case. He struggled mightily at Martinsville, and that was a surprise. That was a big surprise to me because he's got so many grandfather clocks and has always been good there. I thought that he would be all right at Martinsville, and unfortunately, I was wrong for him. Jimmy Johnson, if you look down the finishing order, from Martinsville Speedway, you will find him 24th. You will find Jimmy Johnson 24th. just not a typical Martinsville race for him. So we'll see if they get it turned around starting at Texas. I feel like we've said that a lot lately. And we'll see if other drivers can Chase Elliott back it up. He had a second place finish last week. Can he continue his momentum? Or Brad Keselowski or Kyle Busch? We will find out. We'll break it all down for you. Got some drivers that are scheduled to join us on next week's edition here on the show. As always, search on iTunes, Chasing Checkers. Go to thegamenashville.com. SoundCloud. There are multiple ways to listen to the show, and of course every Saturday at 7 and every Sunday at 8 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Chase McCabe. This has been Chasing Checkers on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.